Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal? Comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out. Metal Geeks! Welcome, Geekazoids. Here are your hosts. Geek it out, fellas!
This is James Averer from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zapsik from The Same, and you are listening to
Metal Geeks.
Welcome to episode number 46 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am your host. I am Carrie G. And with me this evening for this week's show, I have with me Dave Armour, who is going to be our new co-host on the Metal Geeks podcast.
Woohoo!
Hi, everybody.
Well, you just got a promotion.
I did.
I don't pay any extra, so I'm sorry.
Oh. Okay.
You get paid? Well.
And again, with us is...
We'll talk after George leaves.
Right? And on that note, we'll introduce George.
What's going on, guys?
Welcome back to the show, Mr. George Tripsis.
Thank you for having me back.
I guess before... We have a lot of cool things to talk about this evening, but before we get into it, I guess I need to get some things off my chest. You guys out there might have noticed that there are some changes to both the podcast and the website. I guess it's with a saddened heart that I say that our former co-host, John Michael, JM Metal Geek, is no longer with Metal Geeks at all, really. He's moved on to some other pastures that he decided that he needed to do. So we wish him all the luck in the world and wish him best. No animosity. It's nothing like that. It's just everybody's moving on and going on with their own shit, man.
Word.
Good luck to JM, man.
That's right. So we are going to continue on with the podcast. We are going to stay Metal Geeks, and we are partnered once again with Altness.com, and expect some bigger and better things from them. It's just a lot of stuff in the works there. New co-host here, new co-host on my other show, which is, if you believe it, it's almost been 10 years, man, since I started.
That's awesome.
I started MSRcast almost 10 years ago, this summer, actually. And I want to welcome Sean Kumar, who is otherwise known as the Metal Pigeon, as my co-host on MSRcast.
Good for him.
He's not here to say yay.
He's not here. Like, is he coming on all of a sudden?
He's a pigeon. He might fly on. We don't know. But yeah, lots of big changes. So welcome all you guys to Metal Geeks.
Whoop whoop.
Thank you.
So,
woot, woot.
Woot, woot, woot. Come on, man. He said the pigeon thing. I was going with the bird theme here. Sorry. I'll retract that. I'm sorry.
So, you can still find us on all of our same social media. You can find us at metalgeeks.net. You can find us on Instagram at metalgeeks, on Twitter at metalgeeks. You can find us on Facebook. You can find Geekazoid everywhere on the internet, because not only are you a sponsor, you're also now a member.
Yep. I'm not only the president, I'm also a client.
That's right. When you say client, that makes it sound a little strange, though.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
So let's.
Yeah.
So congratulations to everybody around, I guess. Congratulations are in order?
Yes.
Yay, everyone.
Yay. All right.
Everything is awesome.
No, don't say that.
Come on, it's a great song. We should cue that song right now is what we should have done.
Yep.
I will not be doing that. There's not going to be that song playing in the background. I'm sorry. I guess it's enough. Since we're still talking about changes and like having a saddened heart, let's talk about this first topic here.
Which?
There's that too. Yeah, there's a couple of, I guess. Okay, let's talk about Odorous first. Last night... There was the barbecue. They continued on, and there's actually video footage of... They brought back an old member of GWAR who is now singing with them again.
Oh, that's cool.
But they sent away Odorous in a spectacular way. And that, we posted this on Instagram last night, a video of it, or a picture of it. They put him on a Viking sail barge and lit it on fire and went down the river.
That seems very appropriate.
That was super cool, man.
That's how I want to go out, man.
Viking style.
Viking style. Yep. Before or after you're dead? Because we can arrange either one.
No, after, preferably. Okay.
I hear it's pretty fun before, though.
Until the fire gets you. Then it stops becoming fun. I don't know. Maybe you like that, George. You're a little strange.
Hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with being strange, all right? Everybody's a little strange.
Wrong. I thought you were going to say there's nothing wrong with being set on fire.
Oh, well, that too.
You're into that, man. It's all good.
I'm not a pyromaniac. I promise. I am not a pyromaniac.
Whatever gets you going, man. We won't talk about that now. But I guess this is really sad news. Everybody's talked about this before. I mean, we're like a week late recording the show, but Mr. Robin Williams passed away last week. We won't get into too many details because I don't want to be one of those, you know, he said, she said bullshit, but his body of work should really speak for itself.
Yeah, man, it's really sad to hear about that happening, and there's really not too much I can say either that hasn't been said already, other than, you know, he is a big inspiration to what I like to do. He's a big fond memory from my childhood, and I just wish his family the best right now.
Agreed.
Yeah, he was I never physically met the guy, but, you know, growing up with his movies and just knowing how much of a nice guy he apparently was, and he was a big video game nerd.
Yeah, he named his kid. Zelda yeah, fan. He named his kid Zelda. So, did y'all see him? Yeah. See the Zelda commercial, the latest one, the 3DS one.
Yeah, he was in it, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, him and his daughter were in it.
So, yeah, he was a big World of Warcraft fan, and they're going to be devoting, I don't know exactly, maybe a section of land. I've never really played the game, so I don't know how it really works, but they'll be devoting.
They'll probably name a character after him, an NPC in the game, is my guess. I heard that WoW was going to be honoring him that way, but I didn't read the details. But my guess is they're going to have a non-player character in the game somewhere that's going to either have his name or more likely a play on his name. That's usually how they do stuff like that.
Hmm. That's cool. So let me ask you this. What is your favorite Robin Williams character or movie?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit online earlier this week, and mine might be like a weird choice, but it was always a really important movie for me was Dead Poets Society.
Mm. That's a great movie, man.
Not a typical, like, you know, over-the-top funny Robin Williams movie, but I think a really moving performance and just a great movie.
George?
Mine is probably a little off-tilter. He didn't get a lot of fame for it, but it was probably Death to Smoochie is probably one of my favorites.
That was a great movie.
Yes, it was.
People hated on that movie, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, especially the scene where he has the bag of cookies, and he's trying to convince everybody that they're bags of dicks. I mean, it doesn't get funnier than that.
Wasn't that a Bobcat Goldthwait movie?
No, that was a Danny DeVito movie.
Danny DeVito, okay.
Yeah.
The World's Greatest Dad is Bobcats.
Dude, I've never seen that one either, and I've been seeing it pop up recently now that after he passed, and is that the one where his kid committed suicide or something?
Yeah, his kid tries to commit suicide.
Okay.
Or something along those lines. I've seen it once, and I didn't watch it all the way through.
That sounds like a sad movie to watch now.
Yeah. But it's supposed to be like a dark comedy, so...
Right. So, I gotta say, my favorite character has always been Genie from Aladdin. I know... It was his whole thing was like improv, man.
Yeah. That's why they couldn't win an award because for an adapted screenplay, actually.
That's correct. Because, yeah, most of all of his lines were pretty much ad-libbed. They couldn't win the Academy Award back in the day.
Yeah.
But every time I see that movie or, you know, it brings back those memories of seeing it with my mom in the theater. I love that. And you might agree with this, Dave. I don't know. Did you ever go on the Timekeeper attraction at Disney?
No, that was gone before I ever down that way. Yeah.
We'll have to post a link in the show notes on the website if you go to metalgeeks.net. But there was a show in Tomorrowland in California, with Florida, Disney World and the Magic Kingdom. It was like an animatronic show, but it was like in the old 3D building where it was like the what's the thing they used a lot? It was like just a surround screen.
The 360.
The 360 screen. There you go.
Yeah, they use it like in the China show,
right?
In Epcot and a couple other places in the parks as well.
So it was based into this. They retrofitted this new attraction in there in that 360 in that theater, and Robin Williams was like this. I guess with a robotic character, and he like sent people back in time. It was a weird, like, Bill and Ted almost type of thing, too.
Man, I'm totally jealous of you guys going to Disney World. Or was it Disneyland or Disney World, this attraction?
That was Disney World, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's got to close down at least 10 years ago, 90 sometime.
Yeah, that just means your parents loved you more than my parents loved me.
Probably.
That might be true. But I did go to Disney World a lot. As a kid,
I went to Disneyland a lot as a kid. I never went to Disney World until I was already in my 20s.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. Growing up, my grandmother lived in Florida. She lived in Fort Lauderdale, so we would go there a lot because it's only a couple hour drive, really, 3 or 4 hours or something. Yeah. Had a lot of good memories there, and that's why I'm still addicted to it to this day.
I've been to Universal Studios, though. I don't know if that counts.
I'm sorry?
I've been to Universal Studios. I don't know if that counts.
I said I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm joking.
I actually
love Universal Studios.
Yeah,
as well.
I actually got to ride the Back to the Future ride before it was gone. So.
Oh yeah, me too.
So I can say that. Not too many kids can say that anymore.
Yeah, I think I did that one too.
I still have a 3D lenticular poster of the Back to the Future the ride.
All right, nice. You know, you don't have to make yourself sound more special than me. All right, I'm sorry. I'm not as cool as you two. I'm just kidding.
Even though the Simpsons ride is okay, it's not Back to the Future.
I haven't been to the Simpsons one yet. I really want to.
It's the same. It's the same attraction. It's just with the Simpsons, and there's just something about the soundtrack, the score to Back to the Future, that just put me back into being at Universal and being in Florida as a kid. You know what I mean? Mm. Just that sound.
Yeah. Do they still have the King Kong ride in Universal?
They do not.
Yeah. See, I did that ride too, and that was a fun ride.
There's rumors of that coming back, or an iteration of it coming back. That area of the park is now the Mummy ride.
Oh. See, it's been years since I've been there, so.
I'm going to go on a brief tangent. Uh-oh. Since you were mentioning The Simpsons.
Okay.
We didn't talk about this, but I don't know if you've heard about this. FXX, which is a rebranding of one of FX network cable stations. Starting, I think, next week.
The 21st.
They're doing the 21st, yeah. That's correct. They're doing a complete marathon of all The Simpsons ever.
Including the movie.
Including the movie, which they will include in its chronological place in the series. It's going to take 12 days.
Yeah, so for 12 days...
Like 550-some-odd episodes. Yeah.
Everybody needs to clear their DVR right now.
Yep.
So it's like, for 24/7, they're going to be running Simpsons stuff.
Yep.
Well, doesn't Fox do that already?
No. I mean, no. They run it during hours, but FX is going to be running it from, like, morning to night.
That is crazy, man. But, yeah, I haven't been to Florida in about 3 or 4 years, so it's time to go back, man. We need to do some live podcasting.
I'm about to say, it sounds like a road trip is in the works here.
I'm planning a trip for next year with the fam.
That's right.
So.
I'm going to be a fam tag-along now.
All right.
Can I fit in someone's luggage?
You got a big piece of luggage?
Yeah, I do. That I could probably fit in it.
Come on, let's go.
All right then.
That leads us into our next topic. There's another big thing going on next year that deals with Disney. D23 2015 has been announced, and tickets are on sale right now.
What? Actually, what? I really want to go. After hearing Carrie talk about it, I really want to go to this.
Yeah, I went to 2013. They don't do it every year. They skip a year for some reason. They do other little events, but my God, man, I've never been. Okay, I've never been to the real Comic Con in San Diego, and I've never seen this amount of people that was there on that Saturday that I was there. It was just a crazy immense amount of people, but it was a lot of fun, man.
So where would you go to go buy these tickets?
Where would you go? You would probably go to Google and look up Disney D23. You don't have to be... Here's the thing about D23. When it first came out, you had to pay to be a member, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a free version where... I signed up for the free version. You don't get as many perks as, you know, if you paid for it, but it enables you to buy tickets for the con, basically.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not cheap. I mean, like a one-day ticket when my wife came with me for the one day was like $50.
That's not bad.
So, no, I mean, but it's worth it, though. It's a lot of fun, I gotta tell you. What did you say? Yeah, we got to see Tom Hiddleston in person, that's true.
That was worth the price of admission, I'm sure.
For her, not for me.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I saw Tom Hiddleston do that thing with the Cookie Monster and for PBS, right? And ever since I seen that, I'm like, I'd hang out with that dude.
She wants to be touched by the Loki Pokey stick.
Ooh. All right.
But, yeah, definitely, man. We should try to... It's in August. Let me pull up the website while we talk about this. And... Let's see. Would y'all be interested in going?
Hell yeah.
All right.
I'd love to go if we can. I don't know if it's a thing that we'll be able to pull off for the next one. Yeah.
No negativity, Dave. Don't be negative.
I'm gonna bring it down.
Don't bring it down, George. Man. I mean,
this is Disney, man. This is only happiness allowed in Disney World.
We can go to Florida as well as California.
That would be awesome.
We'll do double. What do they call it, double teaming? Double dipping. Mm. We'll do both parks.
Or double Dutch.
No.
I don't know what else they call it.
But you being a huge Disney nerd like me, Dave, this is something you have to do. I mean,
I know.
People think about it. They think Disney like, oh, it's like only. You know, it's only like the Disney Channel and that kind of shit. They do have that.
I think when a lot of people, I guess, like who aren't, you know, you and me,
right,
hear the name Disney, they think the Disney Channel, or yep. If they hear Disney Parks, they think specifically Fantasyland in the Magic Kingdom, mm-hmm. And like it's like
just
that's
being
such
childish
a small,
only, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's so much more than that.
I mean, just the Imagineering exhibit they had last year, it's worth admission.
That sounded amazing.
Oh, my God,
and
dude.
I'm such a nerd for that stuff.
Yep,
and
me too. And if you want to go back and listen to our little reviews, I think it was around episode 19-ish of the Metal Geeks podcast. We did, like, two recaps afterwards and actually did a live episode with my wife from our hotel room. It doesn't sound as bad as it is.
Okay. I was like, maybe I don't want to listen to that.
Yeah, don't go there. But yeah, tickets are on sale now. Check out d23.com/d23/expo.
Yeah, I'm actually going to look into that as soon as I go home.
August 14th through 16th at the Anaheim Convention Center, which is walking distance from Disneyland itself. Yes, sir. We got to go. We got to do it.
Yep.
Sounds like a plan.
So, I guess since we're on the Disney topic...
I was about to say.
Haunted Mansion is now 45 years old.
It has turned 45 years old. I cannot believe that. It's about 5 years older than me.
Way to age yourself there, Carrie.
Yeah, way to go, dude.
Oh, shit. I mean, no, I'm not that old. Come on.
You're only as old as you feel. Come on.
That's true.
So, on this whole, you know... Disney may have aspects that the layman may not expect.
Yeah.
A lot of the reason today that I am into heavy metal and into horror movies and into the macabre stuff that I'm into, the Haunted Mansion played a major part in that, I think.
Oh, yeah.
From when I was a little kid. I went on it for the first time. I was probably 6 or 7 years old, and I was entranced immediately.
Now, just to make sure, I haven't ridden the ride. I've only seen pictures and people talk about it. This is the same thing about the people that you get on the little thing and they travel through a mansion and, like, ghosts are floating around and everywhere, right?
In layman's terms, yeah.
Okay, just making sure. Right?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Do they sing songs while they float around, too?
They do sing a song.
There is. Yeah, because it wouldn't be a Disney thing if they don't fucking sing or dance.
If you, and once you hear the song, you will never ever forget it.
Yep.
It can't be a. No, it can't be worse than It's a Small World.
No. Okay. I'm probably in the minority here, but I do like It's a Small World. It's a weird fetish thing for me.
I've only seen video, and my God, I'd probably blow my brains out for the end of the, no. the end of the ride.
The one in Disneyland is really impressive.
Yes.
Just from a design standpoint and all of that, it is very cool.
I made everybody...
And I think it's one of those things that's like, I don't know that I enjoy it just in and of itself, but I really appreciate it. And I really enjoy it for
the artistic value.
The artistic value and the historical yeah. significance of it as well.
When I went out with my my film school, and we went to Disneyland when was there? In June of this year. I made them all ride It's a Small World at Disneyland.
Did they hate you?
The majority of them are like, "Do you really like that?" I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, "I hate you." I'm like, "Let's go do it again."
Yeah, no.
It's something you got to do at least once on a trip. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The one in Florida, I agree. It's like shoehorned in.
It is very much so. I feel like a lot of those right there in that row, the Peter Pan's not quite as shiny, and
right.
You know, some of those right there in that area are pale in comparison to their originals.
The California,
in California,
yeah, California. Definitely has better out of a lot of the rides, like Pirates of the Caribbean, I think it's better. But I think I enjoy Haunted Mansion in Florida better. I don't know. I think it's the environment around it. I'm not really quite sure.
Hmm. Like, so what is the difference between the two parks? Do they always have the same rides from both parks?
No.
No.
Nope. They built the one... built the park in Florida, they built the Magic Kingdom in Florida, it was clearly modeled after Disneyland, and there are a lot of carryovers there.
Right.
But even the ones that do carry over are changed in certain ways. They're a little bit different. They kind of have their own personality. But there's stuff in both parks that are exclusive that you're not going to find at the other one.
What?
And then, of course, in Florida, there's, you know, three other main parks, and then water parks and other resorts and activities that California doesn't have at all.
Gotcha.
So it very different experiences.
When they were building Florida, they got a lot of flack and a lot of, you know, people saying, well, you know, you have to have a Haunted Mansion here. You have to have the Pirates ride here. And people, they weren't originally going to do it. It's all going to be brand new attraction, but they had to shoehorn this stuff in there, you know?
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know because I didn't get to go, guys.
Well, you will. If you're going to be part of this podcast, you will definitely have to go.
Yes.
It's mandatory. It's like your homework assignment, man.
Awesome.
So did you hear that Bob Gurr called the fanatics of the Haunted Mansion, he called us a cult? Because I'm going to include us in that.
Yeah, I would agree. It's weird. It's a polarizing thing. You either get it or you don't. You're either like a huge nerd for it, or you're just like, okay, that was all right.
Yeah.
It's nothing really in the middle, you know what I mean?
I mean, how do you become a huge nerd for it? Like, what is the following for it all about?
It's a lot of
how do you explain that?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I think I would guess that most of the people are like you and me, that was something that we did as kids,
yep.
that just had an impact on us, had an impression on us, and so the fan base, George, you'll find is it's a lot of people who really get into the history of it, you know, the guys that designed it, how it was done, because so much of what you saw there was in some ways revolutionary, but in other ways it's all these traditional special effects that weren't really revolutionary in and of themselves, but the way it was all put together was revolutionary. It's all this history behind it that really, you know, geeky.
Right. Yeah.
It sounds cool. I mean, I just, you know, I've never been on it. I would like to.
I just picked up the trade actually last night of the Disney Kingdom Seekers of the Weird, which is, you know, it's loosely based on the Haunted Mansion because they hired this guy named Rolly Crump, who actually met at D23 last year. He got snuck in the side door because he's not, him and Disney don't really get along. but he was invited in by one of the different Disney websites that are fan groups, you know?
I guess I wasn't aware that he was not cool with them.
I've heard some stories. It's very interesting. Yeah, so I want to invite on the show the guy who I met who wrote he wrote a book about Rolly Crump, and I want to invite him on the show to talk about it. But
that Jeff Heimbuch?
Jeff Heimbuch, yeah.
Yeah.
He was cool. He's on my book, too. He's on the what show is he on? He's on a Disney podcast.
He does Communicore, I think.
Communicore Weekly, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he does another one, too, doesn't he?
I don't know. You might be right. I mean, okay, if you think listening to our podcast is geeky, there are so many geeky Disney podcasts that take it to a wholly different level.
Yep.
Yep. but yeah, I picked up Secrets of the Weird, which is cool because it's based on the artwork that was designed. It was supposed to be like an after attraction for the Haunted Mansion, a walkthrough, basically Museum of the Weird with all this strange shit. And it never saw the light of day. And Disney and Marvel and have made a series out of it. And it's really, really cool. And now they have a new series out, which is Figment. Have you been reading that, Dave?
No, I haven't. I'm aware that it's there, but I have not read it.
It's pretty cool.
I really want to read Secrets of the Weird. I pass it by every time I go to the comic book store. And I'm like, oh, that looks really cool. But I never pick it up and read it.
I'll let you check it out when I'm done with it, and we'll get your opinions on it.
Yeah, man, that'd be awesome.
So, speaking of con, still, Amazing Houston Comic Con is coming up.
Yep. Yeah.
Yay!
Another Comic Con in Houston. They're just popping up everywhere all of a sudden. What's going on?
That is crazy because if you guys don't know that Dave runs Geekazoid, and they're at all these cons selling their wares. And you were just at a different con that was here in Houston. Let's talk about that before Amazing Comic Con.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Houston Con. Give me your quick opinion.
I think it was pretty good. We certainly had a good time there. I think that it suffered a little bit from it. It's kind of a first time show, but not really, because it's come from the ashes of Space City Con.
So Space City Con done with?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And so the Houston Con grew out of that. And I think there was a lot of speculation and a lot of doubt going into that. And I think they had a pretty good con in spite of it. People seemed to enjoy themselves. We did pretty well there. We had a fun time. It didn't have a huge turnout, but I think it was big enough for the space that they had. It was kind of a smaller show. You know, this was no Comic Palooza, you know.
Right. Well, even Comic Palooza took a while to become Comic Palooza.
Sure. No, sure. And not every show needs to be like that. So it was fun. It seemed this one was very very Star Trek and Battlestar, and it was much more sci-fi focused than
that's where you lost
comic
me.
Comic books,
Star Trek.
So, yeah, I like Star Trek. I enjoy it.
I mean, I like it, but I'm not in love with it. I mean, because that's probably because I'm a Star Wars fan. Dead silence.
Right.
No one. Okay.
There was an audio glitch here.
All right.
Thank you, Skype. But it's okay. So let's talk about the Amazing Comic Con. Who's the big guest you're excited for?
Probably Jim Lee, because as you know, we've talked about it. I cannot keep up with comic books. It's just I love them in a kind of academic and theoretical way, but I cannot keep up with them.
They're too fast for you. Too many, too fast.
It is too many, too fast, and that's
too fast,
a lot of
too
money,
furious.
A lot of money and a lot of time that I don't have. But I do love comic books, and I got into them, you know, when I was, you know, 6th, 7th grade, 5th grade, and at that time, Jim Lee was one of the really big guys going, and he was very influential on me and my friends. Carrie knows I'm an artist. I have an art degree, and a lot of that you know, at that time in my life, I was doing kind of comic book style art, and Jim Lee was one of the major influences on that. It was like him and Todd McFarlane were like the two big guys going.
It seems it seems like Jim Lee is the influence for most people working today.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I met him a long time ago. Bedrock City brought him, maybe like close, right when Image Comics was starting. So that tells you how long ago that was.
Yeah.
But I want to get some stuff signed by him. So we also got Rob Liefeld. Take it or leave it. He's definitely a polarizing character in the comic field.
Yeah, a lot of people like say some bad things about him. Like he can be really abrasive when you talk to him.
That I don't know. I've met him before. I do have some print signed him by him, but I don't know. He seemed fine to me, but
I guess we'll find out when we get to the show, because we are thinking about going and talking to some people there.
We will be doing a show from the floor of the Amazing Comic Con, because we'll all three be there.
Yep, yep.
Who else is going to be there? Len Wein and Herb Trempe. You never heard those names before. Why are you even reading comic books? He was a so Len Wein. He was the I'm probably saying his name incorrectly too, but he was a writer of the Giant Size X-Men, which, you know, introduced the world to most of the X-Men characters that everybody loves now, especially like Wolverine and shit, you know?
It wasn't, no, that's not him. Never mind. I'm thinking of someone else. Never mind. Disregard me.
He created Swamp Thing. You know, he worked on Batman and introduced characters like Clayface. And he's a Will Eisner Comic Book Hall of Famer. That's a pretty big name, right?
That's pretty cool.
Herb Trempe, another big major get. I mean, this is a comic book convention. This isn't a media convention. There's no TV people or movie people.
Yeah, I don't think any like celebrities are supposed to be there.
These are celebrities in
comic book world. Yeah, but I mean celebrities like as in like celebrities. Like TV celebrities, movie celebrities, I guess.
Okay, also appearing at the show is going to be a guy named Tom Scioli. He is currently writing or drawing Transformers vs. G.I. Joe, which is a pretty cool comic. Have you seen that yet?
I have not.
No, I haven't.
It's totally old school, man. Like, totally 80s style. I love it.
Fantastic.
Also, Terry Moore is going to be there, who's kind of like a Houston comic book artist.
Was it Love and Bullets? Was that the name of his?
I think it's Stranger in Paradise is what I know him for.
Stranger in Paradise, yeah. Echo. I actually met him a couple years ago at Comic Palooza. I got him to autograph one of the Spider-Man graphic novels that he worked on.
Oh, cool.
Blue. I think it was Blue, maybe. Or I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was real nice.
And then Joe Rubinstein's going to be there as well. He's the inker for the original Wolverine miniseries.
That's correct, and Bob Layton's going to be there as well.
Oh, cool.
I mean, there's a lot of big comic book names. I don't know how it's going to, you know, I'm used to going to these big cons, and it's all these media people as well, and the comic people are sort of off to the side, you know what I mean?
Well, it's San Diego's fault.
Probably, but it's...
I figured it would kind of make you happy, Carrie, because I know that... I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of butthurt over the media thing taking over the comic convention deal for you. So I don't know, I thought that a true comic convention you'd be pretty happy about.
No, it's cool, yeah. I mean, I'm not butthurt about it. I mean, I work for Comic Palooza, so I can't be butthurt about it. But, you know, it's cool because, like, I used to love going to these old school just comic conventions, like, inside of, like, a hotel, you know what I mean? It was, like one dealer's room, and it would be, like, one or two celebrities, you know? So, I don't know. One of my very first dates that I ever took my wife on was at an old school comic book convention.
Which one?
I don't even know. It wasn't even named. It was, like, the Hilton Southwest Convention, you know what I mean? It was just like, hey, there's a comic convention this weekend. Let's go. That was about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool, man. And, trying to see if there's anyone else going to Amazing Comic Con that I piqued my interest. Can't really see anyone else other than ones we already named.
So look forward to an episode live from the floor. Live to tape. live to podcast from the floor of the Amazing Comic Con in Houston, Texas, at the end of August. I'm sorry. So that's 2 weeks from now, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty soon.
All right, cool. You know what else is real soon?
What?
I don't know.
I was gonna say something really bad. Never mind.
What were you gonna say?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
You know what else is really coming up soon?
No.
It's our review of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna go like somewhere insulting with that.
It was it was not Turtle-tastic.
Oh, it wasn't shell of a time?
It was not a shell of a time.
Eh, you know, it is what it is. Dave, what about you? Did you see it?
I haven't seen it yet. Like I mentioned before the show, I'm going to take my wife's line on this one, say I don't encourage that behavior, namely giving Megan Fox work. So...
At least it's not giving Kristen Stewart work.
I think they're both in the same, man. They're just as bad.
I will say, though, that really, by the time the movie was ready to come out, she was really the only thing that I was really not cool with. Everything else I'd seen from the previews and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, I was like, this actually looks kind of fun, and it seems like, you know, they're still having fun, and it's kind of goofy, and... I thought it had a chance. So, but I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if I'm going to. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, if you're a Turtle fan, I think it totally garners to go see at least one so you can, formulate your own opinion. For me, I wanted to like it, and plus there's so much there in that movie to like. Like there's pardon the pun of shell, but the movie has a shell of a good movie. Like there's good components in there. It's just that they didn't really... It felt like they didn't really care.
Yeah.
I will say that Will Arnett was probably the saving grace of the movie.
Really?
I liked him in the movie.
I felt bad for him at the end of the movie. It's like, why is he even in this movie?
Because they had to have a good actor, at least.
They did a really good job on Mikey. Like, Mikey, to me, was a star of the movie, and it felt like they really focused on Michelangelo and Raphael throughout the whole movie, and they really fleshed out Michelangelo's personality, but kind of forgot the rest of the Turtles, and that's what I felt bad about, because it's all about their brotherhood, and it's all about family, and they really barely scratched the surface with that in the movie. And they weren't really the focus of the movie. They were kind of like side characters to a movie that happened to involve people.
Well, you know what might make you happy? They will have a chance to fix that because they've already announced a sequel.
Yay.
June 3rd, 2016.
You know, I should be excited because if they can get rid of that dumbass director and get some real writers on this movie actually has potential to be good.
The CG work was nice. It was pretty.
Yeah, the effects were great. Like, I was okay with the way the turtles looked toward the end of the movie. Like, halfway into the movie, it's like, all right, yeah. I get it. I know where they're going with it, and they're not that atrocious looking. Although they are pretty ugly, I got used to it. And the only character they really need to change is Splinter, because goddamn, that dude's fucking disgusting to look at.
Yeah. It was not a good design.
No, it was not.
And Shredder, it was nah. That's not the Shredder that I know and love.
And also watching the movie, you kind of tell that they really did plan for what's his name to be Shredder, William Fichtner.
Fichtner.
Thank you, William Fichtner. They really did plan for him to be Shredder. And because you could tell, like, oh, they were leading up to this in the beginning of the movie, and the second half you felt like they just rearranged the plot.
Right, yeah, I mean, Fichtner would have been a great idea to make him Shredder. I mean, he's a perfect fucking villain. I love him in movies, man.
Yeah, he did a good job, although
he was definitely underutilized.
Yeah, some of his lines in this movie was really weird and creepy. Like, I don't know if you guys ever listened to any other movie reviews and stuff like that. But I was listening to Andre the Black Nerd on YouTube, and he brought up a really good point about how when William Fichtner had the turtles captured, and he was saying, like, let me look at you. Andrew made it sound like it was a little sensual, a little sexual. So if you see the movie and you get to that part, and he says, let me look at you.
Take off your shell, baby.
Let me hear you talk. Say it again.
I don't want to give away too many plot points, but, okay, the whole purpose of them trying to capture the turtles was to get their blood because they had this mutagen in it, and then they were trying to find the antidote. There was, like, one little vial of antidote. Like, sounds like any normal plot, right?
Sounds like a horrible action movie is what it sounds like.
Yeah, so, okay, the turtles still had blood in them, right? Why not just fucking get more blood and make more antidote?
I don't know. And plus, also, the motivation of it, when she asks why, he's like, so I could be stupid rich.
Right.
And I'm like, you already have a fucking mansion.
So, is this a turtle movie for kids, or is it a turtle movie for people?
Therein lies the problem, I think.
Yeah, I think that is the big problem. Go ahead, Carrie, I'm sorry.
Right, the design aesthetic of the movie is different from the actual way the turtles act. The way the turtles act, it's like the cartoon from the 80s. They're they're childlike. They're, you know, cowabunga. They made a joke out of that, but the movie, the visuals of it, it's not cohesive. You know what I mean? It doesn't work well.
Yeah, I also agree. It's like they were trying to go for a realism, gritty
look,
but at the same time, when they're throwing at you like these really crappy subplots that's, you know, likable for like kid movies, but when you're a teenager, you'd be like, oh, that's stupid. Also, they got like fart jokes, and like they're always hitting on Megan Fox every 5 minutes.
All right, dude, I like the fart jokes. I'm never above a good fart
joke. I am not gonna lie, I laughed my ass off when they were all stuck and Mike farted. But see, that was one of my favorite parts of the movie. The subway fight scene in the beginning was one of my favorites.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was a great way to open the movie. But they took too long to get us to the turtles, because the movie is about the turtles. We spent half of the movie not seeing them, and that bothered me.
And they did change the origin story, definitely.
Yeah, the origin story was weird. I don't want to ruin it if anyone's gonna see it who's listening to this.
Well, I think we've spoiled it already. If you see the movie, you're spoiling yourself, so.
And my favorite scene in the whole movie is the elevator scene.
Yeah, I could have done without that.
Really? I thought that was perfect Ninja Turtles stuff. DJ Mikey.
But, you know, the weird thing, okay, it's like, how did Megan Fox's character, April O'Neil, forget that she knew these turtles? She's like, oh, yeah. I knew them when they were little turtles, and my dad was experimenting on them. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just remembered that.
And she saved the turtles and not her dad.
Yeah, right? Fuck you, Dad. I'm saving these turtles.
And the rat.
And the rat. I'm putting them in the sewer. Come on.
Yeah, why'd she put them in the sewer? Why not take them home?
I know. Put them in a terrarium or something.
I don't know. The plot was definitely the enemy of the film. Like, it was fighting itself throughout the whole film, because it wanted to take itself serious, but not be serious at the same time, and I don't know.
Did you hate it?
No, I didn't hate it. It's definitely better than Transformers.
I didn't see Transformers, and I did. See, that's the thing. I'm the same place. I did not hate it, but I did not love it at the same time. It was just like, okay, it was
it's very forgettable. That's the problem, and Ninja Turtles shouldn't be, because Ninja Turtles has stuck with us since the late 80s, and it's, you know, it's a part of all of our childhoods. And I don't know, I'm gonna give it a saving grace. Hopefully the sequel will be better, and we'll find out when 2017 is when they announced it, right?
2016. So you don't have to wait that long.
Yeah, wow,
sorry to say.
What a relief.
I know, right?
Well, if they don't bring in Krang and Dimension X and all that stuff, then the movie's totally going in the wrong direction.
I want Rocksteady and Bebop.
Yeah, they totally need to be in that, because that's what the 1992 Secret of the Ooze, Ninja Turtles, the original, That's where they messed up, and they gave you, like, this fake-ass...
Turka and Rezar
that no one knew who the hell they were. All the kids were watching the movie thinking, like, where the hell is Rocksteady and Bebop? And all we got were these retarded animals with Vanilla Ice.
But go ninja, go ninja, go.
Yeah, and none of them used their weapons, although they had their weapons on them the whole entire time.
Right? That is weird. So, Gamescom was last week. Did y'all pay attention to that at all?
A little bit, on and off.
I know Dave is a bigger video game nerd than you are, George, and I'm definitely a huge video game nerd.
I love video games.
And they love you back.
Shut up, George.
Oh, okay.
If you love it so much, you should marry it.
I might, okay.
So let's talk about some of the awesome games that were announced and some new trailers. What was your favorite, Dave?
So I wasn't really keeping up with it in real time, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I just kind of looked back over what happened. So there's Bloodborne coming out, which is from the same people that did Dark Souls and Demon Souls and all that.
That's right. So which I never enjoyed those games that much, to tell you the truth.
I have actually never played them. I have Dark Souls that I got on a Xbox 360 like Games with Gold download.
Oh, you have the video game. I thought you just had Dark Souls in your house for some reason.
I have that too.
It's in his closet.
they're in a container.
This one is kind of. It looks like it's kind of in that same spirit. They were saying that one of the things that the previous games are notorious for is being insanely hard. This apparently is tamping that down a little bit, and they're trying to make it a little bit more accessible. It looks amazing, just like graphically in art, the art direction.
Right.
It looks really cool. Good horror, monsters and darkness and blood and all that great stuff.
Speaking of horror, this was a big surprise to everybody. Nobody was expecting this. A brand new Silent Hill game coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It's produced by Hideo Kojima, who is, I guess, best known to all the video game nerds as the father of Metal Gear Solid and all those franchises, which I can't say that I'm a huge fan of.
But Metal Gear Solid's pretty dope.
I don't know. It's just too much. Too much lore and too much story. And I
got too Japanese for you? Is that what's going on?
Maybe. I'm not really into anime, too, so that could be it. You might have hit the nail on the head. But he's teamed up with Guillermo del Toro to make a fucking scary-ass horror game, Silent Hill. Silent Hill.
Star.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Is it like a sequel? Because there's like...
Silent Hills.
Hills. The hills. The Silent Hills are alive with the sound of horror. What?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be starring, I guess...
Everybody's favorite redneck.
Right? We could say that.
Is it Daryl Dixon, right?
Daryl Dixon.
Or Norman Reedus is his real name.
Norman Reedus.
Sorry.
Yep.
When you start calling him by his character name, that's how you know he's been typecasted.
Yeah. But, okay, just go on a tangent for a second. Robert Kirkman has said that the next season of The Walking Dead, there might be a bombshell announcement that Daryl's character is actually gay.
I heard that too.
I heard that.
Does that really matter at this point?
It doesn't matter.
I don't think it matters either.
I just think he just wants to throw, something new out there. You know what I mean?
I mean,
just cool.
I mean, what's her face? I think the chick that shaved her head that got to be abused by her
Carol.
Husband Carol. I mean, she kept throwing it at him throughout season 2 to 4, so he never jumped on it, so it would explain a lot.
And when she cut her hair shorter is the only time he was like really attracted to her.
It's exactly right.
So
yeah,
so no Coral.
Coral.
Coral, no.
Dude, those crack me up, man. All the
And just to go further on the tangent, do you guys catch up on the comic at all?
Of Walking Dead?
Yes.
No, man, I'm so far behind that. It's not
even
funny.
I am too.
I did just buy a
whole bunch of the trade paperbacks.
I saw that.
So I'm working on
it. I just read issue 130, and not to spoil anything, but it's funny. Rick is sort of looked at as like almost like a godlike presence now for what he's done. Everybody was he's like a big celebrity type of I don't want to say Jesus Christ type character, but that's what it's feeling like. And he's like, no, and I'm not that. But
so the weirdest thing, Jesus of the zombie apocalypse.
That's what it's feeling like. But there was a weird thing in this I'm gonna call it an episode. This issue of the comic where two of the guys were hiding from some zombies, and I don't know if it was just the guy going crazy, but the zombies were talking.
Ha. Huh. Wow. So a little play on of Land of the Dead there,
maybe. I thought that was either going to go two ways. They're actually getting some cognizant abilities back where they can speak, or the guy is just going nuts so crazy and heard zombies talk.
It wouldn't be the first time.
No. What do y'all think about talking zombies in The Walking Dead?
I think it's been done before. I was surprised the Walking Dead series has lasted as long as it has, and he's kept it interesting thus far. So, mm-hmm. You know, bring it on, I guess.
So let's go back to Gamescom then.
Okay.
Speaking of Walking Dead, there's going to be a season 2 of the Walking Dead coming out. I think they're going to finally release them. Well, it's out already, but they're releasing them on disc finally.
The game?
Yeah,
talking about the point and click adventure,
right? Yeah,
the Telltale games.
Yeah,
and as well as like there's going to be a Borderlands one, Tales of the Borderlands, and what else is there? I can't remember. That was
they used to have a Back to the Future one.
I've played the Back to the Future game. Let's not talk about. Let's not talk about that.
I have it. I have not played it.
Yeah,
it's pretty. It's pretty bad.
Carrie, have you played any of season 2 of The Walking
Dead? I have not.
I haven't either. I'm waiting for it all to,
yes,
you know, be one thing.
I had the first episode free on my iPad, but I don't want to go into it and have to replay it again later, so I'm just going to wait until it comes out on a disc format so I can play them all at one time.
Yeah, I'm going to probably like download it on Steam and one big thing and do it that way.
There you go. We got to get that Steam friendship thing set up, and then I can then I can play your games. Hey, I'm cheap. I can't help that.
It's all right. It's all right to be cheap.
You know what wasn't cheap? Xbox One was getting exclusive rights to Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Which I think is kind of stupid on the game's part, but what are you going to do? They probably got paid a lot of money to do it.
Well, I don't think it's going to be an exclusive for all time, because it's just going to be a timed one. So it's probably going to be a year or a year and a half, and then it'll come out on other systems.
Oh, so the PS4, it's going to be like, the PS4 version of the Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Well, yeah, the PS4 version will have bigger, better things, you know. Get the DLC that you had to pay for on the Xbox One for free, you know.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to buy the games two times over?
Yeah, pretty much. You should do that anyways, right?
Of course.
Support the systems.
Yeah, of course. Game trailers from Gamescom. The one I saw was this one called Quantum Break.
I watched the playthrough video of that.
Yeah, the gameplay trailer is what I saw, and it's like 8 minutes long.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So that one's pretty freaking cool. Although it didn't seem like people were fans of it on the comment feed, but I don't know how you can take the comment.
I don't
feed.
Know, dude. Yeah, I really like Remedy. I really love the Alan Wake game. So, and it definitely looks like Alan Wake, just the way the game was designed. But it was very confusing because you don't really know what kind of powers the character's gonna have. It's like, okay, what is going on now?
From what I understand, he has the power to slow down time to up to us only for so long. And that's what I got from it. And then, like, also, he can not only slow down time, but slow down objects in time and, like, and move them to when he lets go, where they speed up in other directions.
Interested to see how this will really work as a gameplay mechanic, and it's not a hindrance, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It looks cool, though. I'm going to definitely give it a shot.
Yeah,
like
I love the Alan Wake games.
You know, something weird that I'm excited for? There was a trailer for a game called Scream Ride.
Scream Ride.
It's made by Frontier Systems, who did the original Roller Coaster Tycoon games. It's going to be for the Xbox One, and it's basically to power your park, you have to bottle like scream. So the more screaming people do, the better you do. It's a roller coaster sim, you know, like sim game. You know what I mean?
So you have to like scare people in the game in order to win.
Maybe.
So it's like Monsters, Inc. of roller coasters.
Hey, they should do that. That would definitely do that ride.
Yep.
I know, it looks fun. I'm a huge fan of, like, you know, like Roller Coaster Tycoon. And they announced Roller Coaster Tycoon World, which is coming out for the PC early next year.
But it's also coming out on platform, too, right?
I don't think so. I just saw PC.
Oh, okay.
There's a Roller Coaster Tycoon 4 on mobile devices, which it's okay. It's free now if you want to download it, but it's one of those timed games. So if you build a roller coaster, you have to wait 8 to 12 hours for it to really, in real world time, to be built.
Oh, it's like that Simpsons game I had on my iPad that I loved playing while I could, but I just hated waiting forever.
I have that. I'm going through that with the Family Guy Quest for Stuff. I hate fucking waiting. I love the game. It's fun, but yeah, okay. I'm going to do this. Now I have to wait 8 hours. And the thing about that game, it's to open up certain quests or characters or things to do, it's like, okay, some of the things are rare, so if I send this character on a quest to do it for 8 hours, you're not guaranteed that you're going to get the results that you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That annoys me.
Dave, what say you?
So, just get, like, 6 to 8 of that kind of game and just make your rounds. Right? I mean...
We don't have time for your
logic, Dave.
Stop trying to make sense out of this stuff.
Okay. We want what we want, and we want it now.
No, going back to Silent Hills real quick, I did play there was a playable trailer that came out for the PS4, just called PT. P period T period. And which I guess stands for playable trailer.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to do it, so
I'll let you check it out before you leave after the recording, but it's weird. It's just walking through a hallway, and there's little, you know, things you trigger, and it is pretty freaky, I will tell you that.
I haven't played all of the Silent Hill games, but I've played the first couple, and I'm a huge horror junkie to the point where it takes something to freak me out. Most horror movies don't really do it for me anymore. I enjoy them, but they don't really get to me. Silent Hill was and still is one of those things that gets in your head.
Yeah, indeed, man. I saw my friends play the first and second one like back to back on a weekend, and that following week at college, I did not sleep.
I had friends who would want to play Silent Hill, and they'd like call me up and be like, "Hey, dude, can you come over?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure. What's up?" They're like, I want to play Silent Hill.
But I can't do it alone.
I don't want to be alone. The pyramid head is scaring me.
Not only that, man, one thing I remember from the video game, like there was this hallway and it just had a giant eyeball in it. And it just tracked you no matter where you went in Silent
Hill. There's this part in the game or in the trailer where you look through a hole in a wall and every picture frame that's in that hallway turns into like this weird blinking eyes thing. It's just freaky.
Yeah, it is pretty freaky.
Yeah, you'll have to play it.
You just don't want me to sleep and come to work tomorrow is what it is.
That's right. I'm going to turn the lights off and like stand behind you and scare you at certain points. What else do we talk about from Gamescom?
What else is there? There's the Borderlands pre-sequel.
I'm just going to wait for them to re-release that on the next-gen systems next year, which is what they'll probably do.
Mm.
But
oh, yeah, because that's coming out. That's a PS3 360 deal.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, why...
I'm cool with it because I'm still on the last generation.
That's true, you are. My wife is, too, so she'll probably pick it up and I'll just play hers. But that's fine with me.
And what else is there? You have this thing called Until Dawn.
Yeah, I checked that one out a little bit. That looks pretty cool to me. Again, that's kind of a storytelling horror thing, which I'm into, kind of atmospheric, dark thing. This was apparently a project that was supposed to be done on the PS3, and it was supposed to use the PlayStation Move, it was supposed to be like a flashlight or something, I think. And they ended up scrapping it, and they brought it back. And it's very story driven from what I understand. And you know, it's like one of those, I guess, kind of like The Walking Dead, where you get to make all these choices that have an impact on how the rest of the game plays out. And they were saying that it's to the extent that you can make decisions that end up killing off every other character in the game, all of your friends in the game. Like they really give you a lot of freedom to mess up, I guess. And that there's like hundreds of different endings for the game depending on how you play it out. So that sounds interesting.
Is that coming out on PS4?
Yeah. That sounds cool. I don't know what the actual gameplay will be like.
Right.
But I like this kind of story driven idea. I don't know. I'd be willing to check it out.
You know what? I'm really excited for that comes out actually in September. The end of September is Middle Earth: Shadow of Mordor.
Ooh.
Yeah. I hate to admit it actually looks like a lot of fun.
I watched like this like 20-minute like gameplay interview trailer.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh my god, man! It's like Assassin's Creed, but you know,
Assassin's Creed Mordor.
Exactly, man. I'm down for that.
Yeah, that's not cool. That actually sells it better than what y'all were describing earlier.
And it has like really cool like you can like possess different orcs and you can force them to work for you, and it changes like the political aspect of like the orcs and everything, and it looks really in depth and a lot of fun. And Smeagol will be in it. Gollum will be there.
Smeagol.
Oh yeah, I hadn't heard that yet.
They've confirmed it. Gollum will be in the show in the game.
This has got to... Okay, I'm really going to geek out now. So now I'm figuring out, based on that, what the timeline for the events of the game have got
to
be.
I see the Tolkien steam coming out of your head.
Yeah, I'm not going to bore you guys to death with that one. But yeah, so I'm a big Tolkien geek. That's one of my things, man. And so anytime they start making stuff like this that is totally outside canon and they're making it all up, I start to my hackles go up and I'm like, no, stay away from my beloved Tolkien stuff. But then I started watching the gameplay trailer that you're talking about, Gary, and I'm like, man, it looks like they got the world right. It looks like they really did their research. It really looks like they're trying to do some fan service for the Tolkien fans.
I am,
and the gameplay looks fun.
I'm playing Lego the Hobbit right now, so I can't say too much. anything set in that world, I'm like, all right, I'm down.
You know, I'm just a big fan of Lego games. Period. I just finished playing the Marvel Superheroes video game, which is probably the funnest Lego game I've ever played.
Indeed, I cannot agree more. You know what's cool? Diablo 3 is coming out next week, the Ultimate Evil Edition for like PS4 and Xbox One and the old systems too. But I just read something now that the PS4 version of Diablo 3 is going to have a level where you go into like this Nephilim Rift, and it's going to combine like characters and level design from The Last of Us.
Oh, that's cool.
So you'll be fighting clickers and stalkers and shit, which is cool. I'm like, all right, that's a great combination of games, you know.
And the clickers were my bane of existence in that video game.
Oh my god, I just picked up the PS4 remaster, and I never played the DLC that came out, which was like $15, you know, and it was only like two maybe 3 hours at the most of gameplay, but it was a lot of fun.
It's the little girl's portion of the story following up before the game, right?
Well, there's two different portions. There's like she's trying to save what's the guy, the main character's name? I can't think of his name now, but he's hurt and she's trying to save him, and she goes out to try to find bandages and all this kind of stuff, and it sort of has like a flashback too where before she meets up with him. Mm. So it's like there's two different portions of the game. Oh, it works really, really well. And there's a lesbian kiss.
What?
I just spoiled it for you, sorry.
Well, she did look like Ellen Page, so...
Right?
Makes sense.
So he has a lot of amazing games coming out this year. I have no idea where I'm going to find the time to play them.
I have games that I need to play that I haven't played yet.
Yeah, That's the problem.
I have tons of those. I have a lot of those.
I gotta say, man, we just gotta get our clones working for us, man.
That's exactly right.
Yep. Yep.
Like, one can go to work, one can work on the podcast, one can go to theme parks all day, one can play video games all day, and I'd be happy.
Yeah, but then you're not physically sharing the experience, or everyone's having the experience separately.
No, but at the end of the day, you all, what you do is you all combine your experiences together in a mind meld, and you'll remember everything.
Oh, okay. There you go. I thought you weren't a Star Trek fan.
I'm not. Why would you say that?
Because of the mind meld thing?
Oh. It's down to that time of the episode where I think we need to throw in the towel. We've talked about lots of geeky stuff. One thing we didn't talk about this week was metal. I know, you know, Dave and I are both big metal heads. George will be transforming into one very soon. But I did want to say that we last weekend was a big metal festival in Belgium called the Alcatraz Festival. And Life of Agony did a reunited show there. And if you don't know, you know, Life of Agony's lead singer is still Mina Caputo, who was Keith Caputo, original vocalist of the band, who's gone through, what's the proper way to say it? Life-changing. So now living life as a female.
Oh.
Just put it that way.
He pulled one of the Wachowski.
Yes. Yes. And it's really cool. I mean, the show is transgendered. The show is really, really cool. The whole thing is on YouTube. It's not the best version, but I can put a link to the show in the notes if anybody wants to watch it. But, yeah, she still has the same voice, man. Her voice has not gone away. I love it.
What? So is it a he or a she?
It's a she, I guess.
So it was a he.
It was a he. Now
it became
now
a she.
Correct. So, all right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 46 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. We are going to try new things here. We might be trying to do this weekly or bi-weekly at the most. There's going to be no more, you know, months or so without an episode. That's not going to happen anymore. So next week we have something that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about the summer movies. Yeah, I know there's going to be movies that I've seen that you guys haven't seen, and vice versa. So. And we're also going to talk about the fall TV preview, what we're looking forward to.
Totally.
So thanks again to my co-host, Dave, from Geekazoid.com.
You're welcome. I love Geekazoid.com.
I'm sorry, I love Geekazoid. I do love Geekazoid.
Geekazoid.com will take you somewhere else.
Oh, will it? So. Like somewhere dirty?
No.
Oh.
But just not us.
Oh, okay.
So
I love Geekazoid.com is a place to go, and thank you again for being a co-host and a sponsor of the same show.
Not a problem.
Thank you to George for coming on again.
Thank you.
Let's talk about where everybody can find us. Number one, I would be remiss if I did not mention my other sponsor. That is VinylDead.com. That's where you go for all your vinyl toy needs. Do you like collecting vinyl toys, George?
I do. I have a lot of vinyl stuff on my desk and at home. I'm probably running out of places to put everything is the problem.
That's always a problem with these little things. Didn't you just buy a bunch of the Guardians of the Galaxy toys?
I did. I told myself I wasn't going to, and I broke down, and I bought one, and then one wasn't enough, which led to like three more. So now I got all these.
If you wanted to buy some more, here's a way to save 10% off doing that.
Oh.
If you go to thevinyldead.com and put in the code MetalGeeks10, you'll save 10% off your entire order.
Next time I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a really nice way to bring that back around, guys.
I know, right?
Good job.
I am known as the King of Segways. That's true.
It's Carrie, King of Segways, Gordon.
That's right. So you can find us all over the interwebs at MetalGeeks. You can find at MSRcast on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram at Metal Geeks. Find us on Facebook.com/Metal Geeks. And do us a favor, subscribe to the show in iTunes, leave a review, and like us while you're there. You know, that's the only way we can get more people to listen to the show. That's all we ask from you. That and some money one day. But right now, just a like.
Likes will work.
Like us. So, thanks for tuning in to the Metal Geeks Podcast. And as we always say,
Keep it geeky.
Always and keeping keep, it geeky.
Keep it metal, too. And geeky.
And geeky.
And metal.
And geeky.
Maybe it should just be metal geeky.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's not? Or metallic no. geeky?
No, that's too close to Metallica.
Your disdain for that hurts me.
My disdain for them does not hurt me, Lou.
Do you have okay. Do you have disdain? Is that do you have is disdain a good way to describe what you have?
I don't
it
know.
It might be.
Yeah.
Just
I don't. I wouldn't say I have disdain.
Disgust. Dislike.
Is it to the point that you can't even enjoy the old stuff anymore?
Oh. Talk about
no.
burn.
Okay, fine.
There you go. And then that's my point.
So anything after 1991.
So anything before load, basically.
Yes, let's go there. And we'll end this episode on those notes.
Have fun, everyone.
Hey, Geekazoids! Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit MSRcast.com. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.